This episode of Church Folks is supported by my latest book, Rewriting Murphy's Law. In a world where bad news is ever present and we're tempted to lean into that negativity, Rewriting Murphy's Law will help you rewrite your own narrative because everything doesn't have to go wrong. In this collection of essays, I take you through six topics, including emotions, questions, and destiny, to help you see God's goodness in your own story. It's an easy read, and I'm sure that it'll bless you. So order your copy today anywhere you buy books online or visit DerekJMurphy.com/books. Again, that's DerekJMurphy.com/books. Inspiration, motivation, encouragement, building people. What's good, family? This is Derek J. Murphy, and I am a pastor, teacher, speaker, writer, author, musician, worship leader, and let's just say an all-around kingdom renaissance man. And this is Church Folks. As I am every week, I'm excited to bring you today's episode. Can't wait to give you this content. But before we get to our interview, I want to make an announcement. Church Folks is switching to a straight podcast format. I'm so grateful to Demetrius Tollfree and the FreedomRadio.com family for airing us on their station, but we are switching to a straight podcast format. It gives us a little more freedom in the way that we present our content, as well as giving you freedom in the way that you listen to our content. So if you're listening to this right now, I know that you're listening through a podcast app, whether it be iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher, or whether you subscribe directly from my website, which is churchfolksshow.podomatic.net. And however it is that you found our podcast, I want to thank you for taking the time out to listen. I hope that this show is being a blessing to you. And if it is, I want to invite you to share that with your network. There are several ways that you can do that and help us to expand our listening audience. First, subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to this from. Just go ahead and click that subscribe button and you'll get a notification every time we drop a new episode. The second thing that you could do is, especially if you are an iTunes user, is to rate and review our show. Doing that allows other people to find our show and to listen to our content, and that helps to expand our listening audience. And so the more people that are listening and the more support that we're able to get, the bigger and better we can do this podcast and bring you even better content. And so I'm grateful to you and want to thank you in advance for doing that for us. And that's what we're doing. Switching to a straight podcast format. We will be dropping an episode every Monday as opposed to every Friday so that you can have the content fresh off the press. So today's conversation is with Dr. Kimberly Ellison, and it was such a phenomenal conversation. However, we did experience some technical difficulties while we were recording, but it was so good that we had to just let it ride. But what we've been able to put together and piece together and edit together, I believe will help you to find your own destiny and purpose and to help you walk in it, because her story is so encouraging. Her testimony is so powerful that I think that it will still be a great blessing to you. Another great interview time for us, and we are excited to have our guest today, mostly because she's a homegirl. We grew up together. She grew up in Sunset. I grew up in Rose Hill, and only from people from Texas County know what I'm talking about. But we are so glad to have Dr. Kimberly Ellison joining us today. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be a part of Church Folks and be on with you all on tonight. I'm excited.
Well, we're going to ask you the same question that we ask all of our guests. What song takes you into worship every time that you hear it?
to really choose one. But Natalie Grant, and I tell you, it's king of the world. And a friend of mine, actually, Dr. Eshelita Bruce, she was the one who shared the song with me. And when I tell you, it just takes you all the way in of true worship, and really just reflecting on, like, who God is, and he is greater. He is not humanistic. Like, we give him humanistic traits, and we think that he thinks like us, and we think that, you know, he does. And he's, and the song says, no, don't you know that he's the king of the world? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just amazing. So you have to listen to it. So anybody who's listening, you got to check out Natalie Grant, King of the World.
Now, as we were preparing to come on, Dr. Kim said that, you know, she was white. Natalie Grant is Anglo. So this ain't going to be, you know,
she's Anglo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Anglo. And I'm telling y'all, check it out.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
I like to incorporate some CCM. Another one of our guests, she said, she calls it Hosanna music, and when she said that, I knew exactly what she was talking about. So,
Hosanna music. Okay.
Hosanna music, okay. Yeah.
I'll keep that in my Hosanna music.
Yeah. That way you're not so blatantly racist.
Right. But on the cool, though, I notice a lot of Anglo music is more, their lyrics go more in depth, you know, when you listen to it. It's just their meaning is deeper, and you just be like, dang.
I'm telling you, it's true worship to God. Mm-hmm. Like, when we think, and it's not like a better or worse, you know, because I love good old gospel, you know, music. And I even like that, I think they call it, is it Christian trap music or something? Gospel trap or something? We're worshiping him. We are just truly pointing toward him. And what is your purpose for my life? And honoring the King of Kings. And thank you for making me clean. I'm telling you, it is true honor and worship. Yeah. It's amazing. So, yeah.
So I'll start, Dr. Ellison. Tell us a little bit of what you do and why you do what you do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you. I think one thing, being a destiny pusher and a destiny seeker, kind of sums up pretty much what I do. I think we kind of start with, like, titles, or we start with projects or businesses, but the true essence of who I am is truly being a destiny seeker and a destiny pusher, and really helping, seeking destiny for my life, seeking my J2911, what is God's divine strategy for my life, really asking God, what is it that you created me for? Just to live out purpose in those areas, not to be, I want to go to the next level. No, but to really seek purpose and to go to the best level. Because, again, well, I can talk about House of Ruth Jewel, which is ministry for healing and restoration that I'm the founder of. Corporate Jewel, it is equipping Christian women for workplace and business success. Even going down to our Gemstones and Gentlemen, where that is a nonprofit for us as well, for youth ages, boys and girls, 7 to 12. And then I'm a publishing director for Sparkle Publishing, where I actually have a passion to help people truly share their story with the world and see their story as their sparkle. So I can tell you all those different things, but if you really look at the thread of all of those, and that is really seeking the destiny that's on my life and helping others push them and propel them forth in the destiny that God has on their life.
Well, you know, I grew up with you. We went to Rose Hill Church of God in Christ together. And I remember back in the day, you were quite a personality. You had the gift of commanding the attention of the audience. And do you think that you had that gift as a child? Because we came to know each other in high school. But as a child, were you one to kind of command the room? Is that something you were born with?
You know what? I definitely think it's something that I was born with. It's innate. It's within me. I actually talk about, in one of my books, I actually talk about how when I was in kindergarten, I actually did not want, when I found out you would get out of school for the summer, I didn't want to get out of school. Mm. And so what I would do, do y'all know, like, it's like little figurines or whatnot that go on like the little table?
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, so my mom had like figurines, all different type of whatnots on her table. And I would line them up like they were in a classroom. And I would teach them, and you know these things don't talk back. Right. I teach lessons to them in me, and the gift was in me when I was in kindergarten. I was 6 years old. And so I did not know then that's what it was. However, it's been in me since I was a little girl, 6 years old, kindergarten, teaching whatnots, figurines, and really commanding the room with them. And then it took me to seventh grade. I'll tell you this. Seventh grade was the time when destiny truly met its assignment for me. And I say that because I was in Miss Kerrigan's class at Liberty Allo, and she we actually had to public speak in front of the class. And I was mortified and petrified at the same time because, you know, when you get around your peers, it's not as... You know, you want to be cool and you don't want to really show that you can kind of, you have a little bit, but I'd never done public speaking before. In seventh grade was the time, first time I'd ever did something where I had to speak in public. I did a poem. It was called "I'm Determined to Be Somebody Someday" by William Herbert Brewster on the inside of me that I did not know I had. And until to this day, I used that poem as a part of my, it was the catalyst that just really started the domino effect. And so, yeah, Derek, y'all, I tell you, Whitney, I agree. I just answer the question saying, you know what? It was always there. And it's always about, you know how we look for purpose. People are looking for these big old signs and they're looking for all these, you know, what is my purpose? I promise you, purpose has always been there. It's not something that is hidden. It is already in you. It's really just allowing God to develop it and utilizing the word of God, people around you to fertilize that gift. I had several people who fertilized it for me, did not know it, that's what it was, but they were just, I'm talking about seeding into the gift. And it became a part of who I am today. And it's a part of my purpose assignment. So, yeah, it was always there.
Who were some of those that seeded into you early?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the greatest thing here, you know, we know our parents seed us. And so my mom knows, you know, she, the foundation from just, I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, we were financially challenged, but we were not challenged at all in our relationship with God or spiritual growth. And that was like some of the biggest, one of the major investments that any parent could give is that you had a prayer life. I saw my mom read the Bible. I saw her preach the word and live it, most importantly. So her seed was the foundation. Outside of my mother and my family, Lady Embry Hinman.
I knew that answer was coming.
When I tell you, this lady is simply, she just truly changed the trajectory of my life.
Yeah. She did that for a lot of us. For those who, you know, we're talking like everybody from Texas County, so. Lady Hinman was the director of Top Teens of America, the Texas County chapter. Mm-hmm. And for those of you across the country who were a part of Top Teens, it was a great opportunity for teenagers to practice being great. And she challenged every last one of us. I remember when I joined Top Teens, she knew my mother. She didn't know my father. You know, most folks want to make me a preacher. But because she knew my mother, who was an educator, she knew that I had the ability to influence people. And she pulled it out of me as well. So, you know, continue with what you were saying.
Well, I tell you, she just changed the total trajectory of my life. I would have been a total different person, a totally different person, had I not been in that place. And I say in part of Top Teens, which was actually a byproduct of my friend, and you all know Stacy. Mm-hmm. Stacy invited me to Top Teens because at the time, where I was from, people from Sunset or quote unquote the projects, they were not in community, you know, programs like that, like Top Teens of America, because it was more structured for those who were either middle working class or a different class of people. Now, as I've grown older, I know that it wasn't really about, it was more about things of that nature that would do or keep you out. It was just the fact that parents probably couldn't afford to pay what was required, right? And so in that, Stacey introduced me to Top Teens. I accepted that invitation. I met Lady Hinman, and I'll tell you one thing she shared with me. She said, and I still go see her to this day. She has held my kids, kissed my kids, you know, and all those things. But I tell you, she said, I did not see, she said, I saw a life that needed to be saved. And I'm like, wow. And I, and she said, I didn't care about where you're from, but I just knew that you had so much in you. When I tell you, Lady Hinman was phenomenal. My first airplane ride on an airplane was with her. My first competition, my first, I was local, regional, state, and national officer in Top Teens of America. I tell you, one thing that stands out in my mind, she would come pick me up. She would take me over her house, practice speaking, practice writing my speeches and practicing them. And I got so tired of her one time, and I was like, I just want to be a kid. I just want to be a kid. One competition I was going to, I wanted to be more with my friends than with than working and practicing. And I actually came in third place, and it broke me. But I learned a valuable lesson, and she didn't pity me. She said, Teen Pearson, you thought you were better than what you were. And so...
Spot on.
And she, you know, and she tells me, you know, even today, just who I am as a woman, a lot of the excellence that you see, a lot of the signature of excellence comes from her blueprint and the imprint that she made in my life. She's phenomenal, like super amazing. They don't make them like her anymore.
I was just about to say, that's what I think our generation is missing, that blueprint. Because, I mean, I was blessed to have it because I had my grandmother, and I actually was, I didn't have quite the experience you did with Lady Hyman, but I got to meet her on several different occasions. But I think that's what younger girls and guys in our generation are missing, somebody taking us and showing, you know, you have excellence in you, let me help you. Nobody wants to really do that anymore.
No, I totally agree. I think that it's two-sided. We have 30 years, you know, older than me or so, and I are maybe 25 to 30. And I tell you, it was because I respect and honor their experience. I'm open to learning from them, but they're also open to learning from me. Mm-hmm. And so it's an intergenerational mentoring relationship. And so from there, you have to be open to say, I want to learn from you, mm-hmm. and you can learn from me as well. Because there's a lot of things that I teach them in regards to branding, social media, some of the new things that are, you know, what, you know, like, I don't stay in the kitchen and cook all day long. I don't do that, you know. You know, we have 30-minute meals and,
right.
you know, convenience. And just really sharing with them some of the things that has helped me. But you're absolutely right. We have to go back to the Titus II woman, you know, where we are not just looking, especially for those of us who are ministry or in church, we go and we look and give judgment.
Yeah.
We give judgment immediately, you know, pregnant girls, that whenever a young lady gets pregnant, they sit her down and hide her like she got the plague. But the man can keep, you know, playing the drums and, you know, leading the choir and playing the piano and armor bearing for the pastor. And so in that, it's just really teaching young women that it's not about trying to be a man or trying to, you know, prove that we have the same rights as a man. It's more so really becoming who you are and understanding your value. It's not about, oh, I got to be Derek or no one won't let me. It's about understanding who you are and allowing people, it goes back to that seeding and that fertilizing, like knowing when to seed. In their life. And I think a lot of older women think sometimes there's a stench of I don't want to, well, I guess I have to be real, you know, this church folks, it's a stench of jealousy. Right. And then from the younger generation, it's a stench of, I can't learn them from them. They don't know anything.
Right.
So we have to find a delicate balance, but we also have to be open. Like, times have changed. The younger generation, they don't want to be judged for everything they do. They just want to be accepted. Let me wear this the way I want. Let me wear my hair purple. Let me, you know, put a nose ring in. Let me do these things. Well, generationally, those things weren't accepted for women, you know, who are, you know, older. And so, but finding that balance, I think that's a really good statement we need, that we have to find the balance.
You mentioned growing up financially challenged, and you've gone from being financially challenged to flying literally all over the world. Your workshops, your conferences have become international. At what point did you envision that happening?
You know, day one. Day one. We started, it'd be almost 10 years. It's 9 years ago. We started with House of Root Jewel. And from the very first, it was on the road. I mean, it was always a vision to have healing and restoration for women around the world. And my mindset was always to reach the masses. And as I've gotten and grown, I understand it's not necessarily about reach the masses, it's about reaching your remnant. Mm-hmm. And in that, we had a global mindset, but not a strategy. We had faith, but no finances. I think one of the biggest, the challenge is that our believability was always there. It's something about timing. So we didn't hit, we were in ministry for 9 years doing House of Roof, you know, Corporate Jewel and Gemstones. And we did not hit the road until 2016, 2 years. So you're talking about 7 years of building our community locally. I mean, we didn't leave DFW area. And that's 7 years. And that's not a long time. You know, it seems like a long time, but it's not a long time. But from day one, we had the vision. And every year, it was never our mission to say, okay, we're doing mission, we got to go global. No, it was, this is a global ministry to reach women around the world. And it wasn't necessarily that we would go global. It was the ministry would go global, whether we use social media, whether we use, you know, podcasts like you all have, whatever the case. And 7 years later, it was all about God's timing, because we thought we'd take House of Ruth on the road, but we ended up taking Corporate Jewel.
Okay.
And that was very unique. And we took Corporate Jewel on the road. And it has been an amazing experience to connect with women in the UK, connect with women in Canada, connect with women from Africa, to connect with women from, you know, DC and the local areas, Atlanta, and, you know, I mean, Carolinas, Texas. It has been, I mean, Louisiana. It's been an amazing run. But it was from day one. Didn't know how. But I guarantee you, I tell people all the time, you can do anything you want. You can compromise. You know, I'll work with you. But one thing I will not compromise on is my destiny. I will not compromise destiny. And if you come for it, you will lose. And so that's the thing is, I'm so serious about God's mission. Walk, crawl, or be carried. It has to go for it. And that's the passion. We started House of Ruth with $50, okay? $50 and a vision. We went on the road with women, taking seven women on the road. These women, and this is not to brag on anything that I've done, it's all what God allowed me to do. And the people he planted and placed on the team of women that I work with, I could not have done any of this without my destiny partner is Heather. And I know you all know Heather. I tell you, it's just the timing. We operate in Kairos time. you know, Chronos time, God operates in Kairos time. Right. And so we want it right now, right then. This is, you know, in 2 years, if I don't have this, it's going to be this. Well, God says, that's your chronological hours and days and minutes. Right. But Kairos is God, his divine strategic plan, his will, his timing for your life. And that's what happened. 2016, we rocked and rolled. When I tell you, we hit up 6 cities in 2016, and it was simply amazing. No, we didn't have, that's why I tell people all the time, we didn't have a corporate sponsor. We didn't have thousands of dollars in the bank. God, I asked God a year before, maybe a year or two before, I asked God for, this is, I stopped asking him for money, and I started asking him for divine creativity. And so in that, when I said, Lord, I know that you created what you allowed me to create wealth. You're giving me that ability to do that. How do I do that? And I want to do it with divine creativity, strategic, divine relationships. I want to be able to be a glory carrier for you. I don't want to compromise my Christian character integrity. And it's not about being a goody two-shoes. It's about standing for God and saying, you know what? I can't take all money. No, we ain't going to do that. We're not putting that on the platform. And when I tell you God moved in such a way, we have not, when I tell you books were written, I'm telling you, it just went, and God just moved in such a mighty way that we were able to, I'm talking about, we paid for plane tickets, people that travel with us, the women that are on this team, we paid for plane tickets, we paid for hotel, they get a stipend, I'm telling you. And so this is all God. You have to know it's all God, like all him.
Well, you mentioned your team. Tell us about putting your team together. At what point before you launched or after you launched, how did that process work for you to put your team together?
You know, in 2009, it was just volunteers. I really didn't know, you know, about like really building a team. It was just friends who wanted to help. I shared the vision. They were like, yes, if you need me, I'm there. So it was really people who really had a passion for women and for God. And so that's how the initial team came to be. So after each event, I would ask for volunteers and they would come aboard. So those women became the core volunteers. Like they were the core. They were the, you know, 6 or 7 women who were going to be there regardless of what took place. And I tell you this, one thing I found when you're building your team over the last 9 years, if their assignment is not connected to something, they're not going to stay. It is seasonal, but it's not as much seasonal as it is connected to the destiny assignment. And what I mean by that is you can't just push my destiny, because then you're going to be in the background and not working your destiny, not seeking your purpose. You know, you can't, so I always, every person who's on this team, I challenged you. I meet with them still and was meeting with them then. Hey, so what are you looking to do in your business? What are you looking to do, you know, in your career? What's next for you? What's going on in your family? And let's pray and cover that. And then in 3-4 months, I need to know, did you start the business? Did you write? I mean, it's an exchange. It's not you just coming behind me, pushing me forward. No. I need to be, you know, you get a table, you get whatever you need. If you need to sell your products, we're here. You need to help me go over your stuff. But it's about pushing you forward in destiny. And so over the years, I've been able to have a consistent flow of a core team and allowing them to know it's not just about me, that it's about our destiny. And I think that's where a lot of leaders get it confused, though, is because they think that people work for them and that you can treat people that labor with you less than you.
Right.
And that's not the case. Everybody from my assistant to people who work with me in social media, everybody has full purpose. This is full game. Ain't no little eyes and, you know, big U's. There's none of that. Now we do have a you know an authority gradient, which you know we're not gonna you know disrespect and do all that kind of stuff, you know. But as far as I don't treat them like, oh, you gotta always, when I call, you gotta do it right now. It's always a system in place. And I think just building the team using their purpose has to be connected to you. And we've lost several team members because there. Here's a couple of things. Commitment is big. Discipline is strong. And I don't do petty. We don't do petty women. Oh, no, no. We don't do backbiting. We don't do all that. Like, you don't come talk to me about one of the members. And that's what we as leaders have. What we allow will manifest. Yeah. And so when I would have members come to me and talk about other, you know, members, I was like, oh, no, I think you're, you know, I think we should have a conversation so we can all discuss this. I think you need to share this information with her. You know, oh, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. Mm. Because there's conflict. And a lot of times as adults, we don't handle conflict well.
Right.
You know, we don't want to because we've been taught that conflict means, you know, failure or I don't like you. No, conflict means there's an unmet expectation or we missed, you know, miscommunicated in some way and we need to get it taken care of. So we would do that. Building the team was always around your purpose. Like, you can't just connect with people for their purpose.
Well, I like the fact that you said that when building a team, it's really about mutual purpose. Mm-hmm. It's not just one-sided that people don't join a team to push a person. It's about pulling purpose out of everybody connected. And if the team ain't eating, then we're not winning
at all. That's it.
If everybody's not benefiting, and I don't just mean by getting a check, but by walking into the things that we should be doing, the things that we were destined to do, then we're missing the mark. And I think more leaders should take on that that model that we need to come together in our purposes so that we're all winning. And nobody will feel slighted because yep. somebody else is on the stage
right.
and somebody else yep. is handling a platform and whatever, yeah. because we're all operating in purpose. I like that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, Heather, she's my assistant, and she does a lot of executive assistant, and she does a lot of a lot of the things behind the scenes, she does even more. But I tell you, she has her own company now, Make Your Mark & Co., and it's a virtual assistant company, and that was pushed and birthed. Like, we labored, like, midwifed, like, okay, breathe, Heather, let's push, you know, because I see it in you, and just to continue to grow and develop that thing. I have another young lady who now, she has her own photography company. And, you know, it was 2 years in the making of even getting her to the point of her belief changing about what she was able to do. And she had now has a full-fledged photography, Lateria Peterson, a new thing, photography. And when she's now my photographer. She travels with me. And that was never the intent. Mm. It was just pushing it and birthing it out of her and seeing that thing in her and really nurturing it. And fertilizing it. And 2 years, it took 2 years for her to even get to the point where she thought that God confidence and to build her belief and her skill level where she thought she was capable of doing it. And so she would come to conferences, she would support, she would take in, but it's time for you to grow. There's no way you can be around someone else and they're growing and you're not. That it's you can't. It's just not going to happen. Either you're going to fall off, or you're going to stay and grow. That's just nature. That's just it.
Well, I have a question coming from more of a female question. Well, really not a female question, but how do you handle, like, in this generation now, it's like the gender roles have changed. Like, women are becoming, they're standing up a little bit more. And how do you combat being a woman with a vision and walking in your vision and not overpowering, you know what I mean? Like staying kind of, because it's like the attitude that the world has is like when a woman becomes too powerful, it's like, oh, you're overpowering the man. You're overshadowing the man. How do you combat that? Like, where do you find that balance? Because I'm just like, well, I'm just going to do whatever it is I know I'm supposed to do. And if that's too much, then I don't know what to tell you, but I don't want it to be, you know what I mean? I want to be in order as well. So how do you kind of combat that? And being a married woman, how do you combat that attitude of, okay, you're doing too much, or no, I'm not doing, you're not doing enough, you know?
So it's a couple of things. So it depends on the environment. I do believe as far as in the church, you know, in a hierarchical system of, you know, the pastoral position, you know, so I believe that when you're under leadership in the church and they see the gift in you, and God has destined you to be a part of the Great Commission, like he has him, the pastor himself, the Great Commission is, you know, go ye therefore and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so anything that contradicts the Great Commission contradicts your assignment. So I just don't believe you would sit under leadership, male or female, and they would prevent you from going and doing the Great Commission, which is going therefore ye and make disciples. So that's one of the biblical principles that I live by, is that it's not about just you learning and me learning and sitting under pastoral leadership, but my pastor's mission is for me to learn, me to be developed, and then go out and help someone else not only learn, but develop them so that they can develop other disciples and other people learn their purpose and then share Christ, and then it continues. So that is the Great Commission. So anytime a woman or a man is sitting under a leader that is has a boa constrictor, you think about a python, the spirit of Python, will, you know, crawl around your neck slowly, and it'll squeeze you and the life out of you. And so sometimes when you're under leadership and they're restricting what's on the inside of you, then you might want to, one, from a ministry perspective, right? I believe that any leader that you sit under, a great leader makes other great leaders. A great leader just doesn't want people working for them. So that are working. No. A great leader makes other great leaders, period. And that's from ministry, because I have to talk from the church from that perspective. We can go in a whole different direction. You know, some places I've gone, they won't, you know, you don't, they don't allow women in the pulpit. I don't fight. Battles and people's, you know, I don't go in your house and move your furniture. You don't come to my house and move my furniture. So if I come to your house and your church and that's your practice, then, you know, when I come, that is the practice or the custom that I take on, unless it goes against my biblical principles. However, the word of God tells us when you go into someone's house, if they don't eat pork, you don't eat pork. You know, like, so you have to know and have the wisdom and knowledge of what to do when you're going into someone else's house, okay? When you go and even in the biblical times when they would go and trade gifts and take it. So it's the problem because, oh, I went to that church, they don't like women preachers in the pulpit. Well, then you just don't go to that church. That's their practice, you know? So that's my belief. However, when it talks about corporate America, and when you're talking about, just like you said, in the world and women are progressing, here's the deal. I'm not a man, never want to be a man. Men have a heavy weight to carry. Women, we are phenomenal, but men have especially, like you said, the husband in my house. I don't want to be the husband. You know, I don't want to carry the weight of my husband, the providership, the priesthood, you know, the king of our home, making sure that those things we are provided for. That's a heavy weight. Okay. So I never fight for his position, intentionally. Now, because I'm a woman and the word of God says we will always fight for his position, we feel that we can control certain things, but because of the destiny on my life, I know that everybody won't accept that. It's been times where, you know, I've had to feel like I've I had to shrink or my purpose was less or, you know, because I had to step back. I am a wife as well as a mom. I still have to, if my husband has to go somewhere, I still have to make arrangements with the kids. He is the primary, you know, in my home. So in that regard, but my destiny will never suffer. And I tell you why. Before I married him, I told him that I had dated so, like, different men. And for so many years, I hid who I was. Or I had to compromise what was on the inside of me. And I would not do that to never again. So if, and when we got married, before then, he knew. My life was committed to Christ. He is first. He is the only man that you will ever be jealous of, because that will be the only man that that's the only man that outside of that is it. But if you try to come between me and Jesus, it's the issue. I mean, and he knows, like, he literally knows, like, my heart for God is so pure, and he knows that the destiny assignment of my life is greater, and he knows that. And I honor him for that, but at the same time, he may not always understand, you know, but I tell him, you know, in a very sweet way, sometimes I'm not looking for your understanding. I just need you to know, you know, that this is a God assignment. But everybody has a battle. And I'm not making it equal. I'm just saying we do have a battle. I battle in corporate America all the time, you know, being a woman, being an African-American woman. But I guarantee you, your destiny, that's the difference between, I think, those who are believers. Your destiny is your destiny. This is when I tell you, I've been on the last 2 months, Jeremiah 29:11, and I've been teaching women and teaching people, and I call it J2911. My J2911, you can't change it. So you can put up any barrier that you want. You can put up any block that you want, you can put up, throw as much. You cannot change my J2911. That is God's divine strategy for my purpose. You can't change it. And so I'm always, even when I'm fighting battles from a gender perspective, I always remember, and I talked to God and I said, is this my J2911? If it is, I know you already know the outcome. And I said, when I say flat-footed in the face of the enemy and say, you think you got me, but this is a part of my J2911, so that means I can come out on the other side. And that's just it, knowing that there are battles. I'm telling you, it's times where I've spoken at churches and pastors will come up to me and say, you have fun? And that's to minimize what you've done. Fun? We're talking about people going to hell here. Ain't no fun. What do you mean fun? You having fun? That's trying to, you know, just making, you know, minimizing, oh, you're a woman, so you got to be up speaking and having fun. Well, what you doing when you up speaking? You having fun? You working? You on assignment? You're helping people find God. You're allowing people, you know, breaking generation to get people to believe in God. You know, you're helping people to see God's word as a healing, and you're helping, you know, so I'm not, no, I didn't have fun. It's warfare, which is not fun. So we just have to recognize that, but knowing that our destiny is already outlined. It's already there.
When you, I told you before we started, and I believe everybody's hearing it now, that you are probably one of the most passionate guests we'll ever find, and I'm so grateful for the work that you do. I've been watching for the years that, you know, we've been friends, that you've always been on your job. You've always been on your purpose. And I am grateful to see and watch your purpose manifest itself the way it has. None of it took any of us by surprise. And so we are grateful to see what God is doing in your life. If you will, share with our listeners your information, how they can follow you on social media, and how they can connect with you through the internet.
Okay. Well, you know, before I do that, Derek, I was going to say, it's so funny you say that, because oftentimes you don't see yourself how people see you. And, you know, and so it's so funny, because I'm like, wow, you know, to say that, and for you to say that, and you all to hear that from you all, it's just simply just an amazing, just how amazing God is. It's just amazing because I never saw myself in that way. I always thought, I knew that I was always different, just, but I didn't know that. I thought I was different because of the way I thought. But the difference is really the anointing that's on your life.
Right.
And so I thank God for that. And I thank God for just having, again, relationships where you all could say, oh, we know you since, you know, you were a kid and we grew up with you. And so you could see God's work truly. You know, people that know you, meet you now, you know, they don't know. And so you all know, we were singing in the choir. What was the name of the group we sang in, Derek? And we were
Instruments of Praise.
Derek was our leader, and it was just simply amazing. But again, thank you for having me on. You can find me at drkimberlyellison.com. That's drkimberlyellison.com. And also, make sure you check me out on social media, Facebook and Instagram. I am Dr. Kimberly Ellison. And on Twitter, I'm Dr. K. Ellison. I would love for you to connect with me and check me out on Winning on Wednesday. That's a radio station, KHBN 970 AM radio on Wednesday night, 6:30 PM Central. So don't say, oh, it's not local. No worries. Download the app at KHVN 970, or you can go online to KHVN 970AM.com. So anyway, you can find me there. Any other time, I'm Corporate Jewel PWC. That's Professional Women. It's Corporate Jewel PWC. I mean, we have amazing things going on. I would love to connect with you and hear from you. And I thank you all so much for just thinking of me to be a part and sharing your journey with me. Because that's what it is. It's your purpose assignment. And I thank you for sharing it with me.
If you have a business, brand, ministry, product, or event that you would like to be promoted on this show, contact us at churchfolksshow@gmail.com. Again, that's churchfolksshow, one word, at gmail.com. We have on-air and digital packages available, so take advantage of that and contact us today again at churchfolksshow@gmail.com for more information. All right, this is the part of the show where we open up the doors of the church for any person, place, or thing that needs to come down to the altar and repent because you're just tripping, or you're just getting on my nerve, whichever way. So today, as a speaker and as a preacher and a pastor, as an orator, I want to plead with you and beg with you, pastors and preachers, stop taking five times the close. Seriously. If you're going to close, close one time. I'm just going to say one more thing and I'm going to my seat. And you do that four times. Five times. Why? Why does it take you so many times to say your last point? I understand that the Holy Spirit will give you an illumination in the middle of your message, but wait until you know it's your closing point to say one more thing and I'm going to my seat. I'm just saying. Stop closing five times. And another thing, stop telling me to tell more and more people, turning the 5, 10, 15, 17 people and giving them a high five to tell them something that they heard you say. I don't mind turning to my neighbor, but my neighbor sits to the left and to the right of me, or in front of me or behind me. I really don't feel like running across the church to give somebody a high five, to tell them what you just said. They heard you. All right, so let's limit how many people we're turning to. Let's limit how many people we're giving a high five to, because we bought that microphone and that high-dollar PA system so that we can all hear you. All right? So let's just cut it out. Church Folks and Kingdom Culture are the intellectual properties of Derek J. Murphy and Derek J. Murphy Enterprises, and it is produced by Derek J. Murphy and Whitley Watson. Music provided by Chuck Price. Make sure to visit us on the web at churchfolkshow.podomatic.net. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Church Folks Show. You can follow Whit on Facebook as Whit B. Watts and on Instagram at From Me_WhitLove. You can follow me at I Am Derek J. Murphy everywhere but Snapchat, because you know I don't do that. Make sure to tell a friend about our show and spread our little good news. And while you're at it, subscribe on iTunes, Google Music Play, and Stitcher. And make sure to give us a 5-star rating, because it really helps. So, until next week, may the Lord watch between me and you. We'll be right back.